Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to 48 Hours ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Need more mystery in your life? Well, an Audible membership can solve that. They've got the best selection of audio titles from every genre, including true crime, celebrity memoirs, business, and so much more. Audible is the ultimate destination for thrilling audio entertainment, which will keep you on the edge of your seat each month. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. I recommend newly released The Berman Murders by Doug Carey, a true crime saga set in the Mojave Desert. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500. That's audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/48hours.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Warren County is a very calm, quiet community. It's mainly rural. It's considerate, it's compassionate. They care about each other.
They rode all the time. I think it was love at first sight. She just knew Jim was the one for her, and that was it.
Vic, you've been working very hard?
All day.
They had no children, so all they had was each other. I think in some ways, they probably were closer than some couples are. I think they loved each other.
They were well known in the whole area. Jim Barton was a lieutenant with the Springboro Police Department.
The Vicky that I knew was a very passionate person. Passionate about her work, her family, her horses.
They had their whole life worked out what they was going to do.
Murders in Warren County are few and far apart.
911 is the emergency.
On April 11th, 1995, I overheard a call coming in from Tuart Road.
This is Lieutenant Barton.
Lieutenant Barton?
Yeah, it's from Springboro PD.
I don't know how I can describe it. It's horrifying.
She's not breathing, and she's got her clothes off. I don't know what's going on, but give me some help out here quick.
I'm Tom Harris. I'm the sheriff of Warren County, Ohio. Upon arriving at the scene, we found Vicky Barton, and she'd been shot 3 times in her head.
It's like my world has come to an end. My happiness has come to an end.
We had no suspects. Jim Barton was looked at only as a spouse of the victim. He was clean.
I want the criminal caught.
Right now, we really don't have any leads.
The case became cold. It got put on a back burner, but it was never forgot.
When we took it over, this case was essentially dead. There was a very limited amount of physical evidence.
Look at that page.
And after 9 years, that is extremely difficult.
We got that tip, everybody was like, whew.
I remember getting chills and just thinking, wow, how can this be?
Speculation is, that scared the hell out of her. Didn't work out. She ends up dead.
Scared to death.
Growing up in Middletown, Ohio, Vicki Siebert seemed to have one passion in life.
What were Vicki's dreams?
To ride a horse, to own a horse. All we heard was, I want to ride a horse, ride a horse. Horses, horses.
Look at that face.
But Mary Jane Siebert soon discovered her daughter had another interest down at the stable.
She'd go out practically every night to the barn.
That's where she met Jim Barton?
Mm-hmm. I thought she was riding a horse. She wasn't. She was out there with Jim.
She was in love.
They were in love.
Beautiful person, caring person, loved the outdoors, all the things that I was interested in. Went trail riding with her, and that's how I got to know her and started dating her pretty much exclusively.
This was the girl of your dreams.
Absolutely, she sure was.
In 1980, after a 5-year courtship, Jim and Vicki married.
I was the matron of honor.
Childhood friend Marianne Lacey stood at Vicki's side.
It was beautiful. We had red dresses on. It was in February near Valentine's Day.
Did she seem happy?
Yes.
The newlyweds moved into the small town of Springboro, where Jim became a cop, rising to the rank of lieutenant.
She often referred to him as the big guy.
Diane Bisgard and Kathy Trame knew Vicki as both a friend and a co-worker. They say she loved being a cop's wife.
When she would talk about Jim being a police officer, she'd light up.
I think she looked up to him as kind of her protector because he was a big guy.
All kinds of lunches.
Like Jim, Vicki chose a career helping people, eventually becoming a head nurse at a local hospital.
The staff absolutely loved Vicki. And her favorite word was kiddo. She'd say, kiddo, you can do it.
But Jim and Vicki never let their careers stand in the way of their goal of owning a farm.
We wanted to live on a farm. I wanted to live on a farm.
In 1988, they purchased this horse farm just outside Springboro. They called it Locust Knoll.
In my eyes, it was Ponderosa. No. Whether it was to anybody else other than Vicki and I don't know.
For the next 7 years, Jim and Vicki spent every spare moment rebuilding the home, putting up a network of fencing, and adding a new barn.
This was our dream place. We had so many plans for the future, and this farm was all part of that.
What do you got there, Vic?
Looks like an old hammer.
But neither Jim nor Vicki could have planned for what happened back on April 11th, 1995.
It was a sunny spring day. I told her, I love you, and kissed her goodbye, and that was the last I'd seen her. Last I saw her.
Later that afternoon, Jim finished work, left the police station, and headed for home.
I pulled down our farm lane. The garage door was standing open, and the interior door was standing open as well. Just seemed just a little bit odd. I walked on down the hallway. That's when I glimpsed what appeared to be her legs on the bed.
Vicki lay motionless with a blood-stained pillow over her head.
I called to her and ran to her, and the dogs ran around her. Excuse me. I touched her leg. Her skin was ice cold.
911, what is the emergency?
There's a murder. My wife has just been killed, I think.
I knew it was a lost cause, but yet, you know, I kept hoping.
Vic, give me some help out here.
I was thinking at that point, someone could still be hiding in that place. When I started searching that house, I had my gun out. I'm going through all the closets.
With the house secured, Jim finally confronted the horror before him.
I couldn't leave her. I knew I couldn't do anything for her, but yet I couldn't leave her.
Detectives discovered a puzzling crime scene yielding few clues. It was an execution-style killing with 3 gunshot wounds to the head. But there were no eyewitnesses, no murder weapon, and no strange fingerprints.
You hope to come away from a crime scene with crucial evidence, and we just didn't have it.
So it's been years since you've been here.
Over 10 years.
Detective J.R. Abshire, now retired, was assigned to the case.
I kind of got the feeling there that something might be staged.
The house appeared to have been burglarized, but valuable items like Jim's guns and Vicki's jewelry were left behind.
It wasn't what it appeared to be.
The only physical evidence at the crime scene was found on Vicky's body.
Her shirt, along with her bra, had been pushed up. Her breast had been bitten.
This person was a sick human
being.
Yes,
definitely.
The saliva left from the bite provided valuable DNA.
We have compared that DNA sample with, I'd be afraid to guess at the number of people.
Jim Barton?
Jim Barton, his friends, never been able to match it.
What do you think happened that day? Why was Vicky Barton, your wife, murdered?
I don't know. I've run the scenario through my mind many times. I have absolutely no idea.
One of the few leads early on in the case came from Vicky herself. Several hours before she was murdered, Vicky told Jim about a stranded motorist who had dropped by the farm with a gasoline can looking for fuel. Detective Abshire spent months trying to track down that man, but his identity remained a mystery.
I thought it was very strange. We're quite a distance off the main road where the farm is located. I was concerned when she said the guy walked up there.
The investigation limped along. Jim sold the farm and tried to go on with his life. 1 year after the murder, he remarried.
It's strange how fate works.
Yes, isn't it?
In a bizarre twist, his new bride was Marianne Lacey, Vicky's matron of honor.
What is it about Jim that you fell in love with?
His charming side, his attentiveness.
But the marriage collapsed a year later. Vicky's unsolved murder proved to be too great a strain.
I said, what happened? Because I really wanted to know. I wanted to understand. And he was quite reluctant to talk about it with me. And that bothered me, and I told him.
Jim says he may not have talked about Vicky, but she was always on his mind. And so was the investigation.
I wanted to solve his case. I still want to solve his case.
But the case sat idle for 3 years. Then, in 1998, a break.
Finally, we got somebody here that's gonna bring it all together for us.
A stunning confession from an unlikely source.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The 1995 murder of Vicky Barton remained unsolved for 3 frustrating years.
She was a joy to be around. I miss her terribly.
Her mother, Mary Jane Siebert, held on to Vicky's memory and to the hope that her killer would be caught.
I'd just like to know why they had to kill her.
It's aggravated robbery, a first-degree felony.
Then, in 1998, investigators finally got a break in the case from a small-time career criminal named Gary Henson.
This is the interview room that initially talked with Gary Henson in.
Frank Hensley of the Middletown Police Department had just arrested Gary Henson for burglary and drug possession. At the end of his interrogation, Henson dropped a bombshell, saying he knew who shot Lieutenant Barton's wife.
That took me completely by surprise.
Henson told the detective the killer was this man, his half-brother, Will Phelps. Phelps allegedly revealed his dark secret to his brother just days after the murder.
Phelps finally confided in him. He said, I've done a horrible thing. And finally, Will says, I'm the one that shot her.
Henson said his brother, along with an unidentified accomplice, had planned to burglarize the Barton home.
Gary told me that Will said, I panicked and I shot her in the head.
Lincoln 6, check up.
4 months after the murder, Phelps committed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. Henson said his brother couldn't cope with the guilt of killing Vicki.
Did you believe him?
Yes, I did.
Lead Detective J.R. Abshire believed Henson as well.
He knew that she had been bitten, which we had not released to the media.
It was information only someone associated with the crime would know.
So what are you thinking?
It was significant.
But the only hard evidence Abshire had to link Phelps to the crime was the DNA found on Vicki's body. So he immediately ordered Phelps's body exhumed, hoping for a DNA match.
When you found out that Will Phelps' body was going to be tested for DNA, what was your reaction?
I thought, oh, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe this guy is involved in it.
Was it a match?
No.
How disappointing was that?
Pretty disappointing.
With no direct evidence linking Phelps to the crime and the identity of his accomplice still a mystery, the question of who killed Vicki remained unanswered. And so the case remained open.
It eventually caused my retirement, I think, because of the stress that was placed on me.
The investigation had come to a standstill, and Jim Barton, once again, was moving on with his life.
He is the sweetest boy I've ever known. He is a wonderful, wonderful man.
By 2002, Jim had begun dating Elaine Geswine, a human resource manager. 1 year later, they were married.
And I absolutely adore my husband, absolutely.
And Jim says there was more good news. A countywide cold case team was formed to take a second look at Vicki's murder.
Maybe they'll finally, you know, get some energy behind this crime, this investigation, and solve it once and for all.
The cold case squad was led by seasoned homicide captain John Newsom with the Warren County Sheriff's Office. For 6 weeks, they combed through all the evidence.
And I wanted to make sure every fact we had was fully vetted and that we went where the case took us, that we didn't take the case.
Just 6 weeks into its investigation, the cold case squad discovered a clue buried in the evidence. It's on Jim Barton's frantic 911 call. 2.5 seconds of audio tape that broke this case wide open.
Let's listen to that moment of the tape.
Oh, man. I gotta call Phelps, man.
What did he just say?
I gotta call Phelps, man.
I gotta call Phelps, man. What does that mean?
It refers to me, to Will Phelps.
Will Phelps, the man once suspected of shooting Vicki. Suddenly, there appears to be a link between Jim Barton and Phelps.
Did you know Will Phelps?
No, I did not.
Didn't know him at all?
Didn't know him at all.
Never met him?
Never met him.
I gotta call Phelps, man.
Jim says Newsom has it all wrong. During his 911 call, he says he's not saying the word Phelps at all. Instead, he's saying,
I gotta call for help. I'm slurring the words for help together. I got a call for help. I'm talking to this 911 operator. I'm not getting any help.
Give me the emergency squad, quick.
Just go check if she's breathing or not.
She's not breathing, sir. She's cold.
Doesn't seem to be doing any good. I start thinking about calling someone else.
Oh, man. I got to call for help, man.
But the cold case squad was convinced Barton was saying Phelps. To prove their theory, they turned back to the man who said he knew all about Vicki's death, Phelps's brother, Gary Henson, and what he told investigators blew their minds.
Gary Henson told your investigators that his brother Will had been hired by Jim Barton?
Yes. I'm thinking, yeah, I've got a good, solid piece of evidence against this guy.
This stunning new detail that Jim Barton was involved in his wife's death was never mentioned by Henson when he talked to police 5 years earlier.
He told us that Jim Barton met Will
and came to him and said, you know, stage a burglary at his house. And then scare Vicky when she got home from work.
It seemed utterly fantastic. Why would a distinguished police officer hire criminals to scare his wife? John Newsom says it has to do with Jim's ambition.
He wanted to be a police chief. I think he applied 3 times.
According to Captain Newsom, there was an unwritten rule in Springboro that the chief of police had to live within city limits. And that meant Jim Barton would have had to move off this farm and into town. But Newsom believes that Vicky would have never agreed to sell her dream ranch. So the theory goes, Barton hired Will Phelps and an accomplice to scare Vicky, hoping that would convince her to move into town where she would feel safe.
Do you believe that Jim Barton wanted Vicky dead?
No. I believe he wanted her frightened.
Then it just all went wrong.
It all went terribly wrong.
That's crazy. I just can't believe someone could come up with that. I would not have left the farm to become police chief, I can tell you that much, because I love that place.
Is Gary Henson a liar?
Absolutely he's a liar. Absolutely he's a liar. Because I'm not involved in this crime.
But investigators chose to believe the career criminal and not the career cop.
Why should you believe Gary Henson?
Because Gary Henson told us things that we were able to corroborate.
Besides knowing about the bite mark on Vicky, Henson said his brother was the mysterious motorist who asked Vicky for gasoline the morning of the murder. According to Henson, that's how Phelps would case a house before robbing it.
This guy is a total liar. He's a criminal.
To prove his innocence, Barton agreed to take a polygraph test. Paul Von Holly administered the exam.
On Jim Barton's test, the computer gave this indication.
100% deception indicated. Was there a tipping point for you in this case in which you said, Jim Barton, it's not just an interested party here, he's a suspect?
There was. It's when he failed the polygraph.
Those results finally convinced investigators they had a case.
And there is no glory in standing here today and saying we locked up one of our own.
In April of 2004, 9 years after Vicky's murder, they arrested Jim Barton for having caused his wife's death. Easter 2004, a holiday Jim Barton would never forget.
It's unbelievable.
The veteran cop faced the ultimate humiliation, being arrested by his fellow officers, charged with causing his wife's death.
It's like I was totally drained at that point. I knew I'd committed no crimes, but now I've got handcuffs. It's one of the lowest moments of my life.
Elaine, Jim's current wife, was devastated.
What'd you see on his face?
Shock. Absolute shock.
Now, prosecutors Leslie Meyer and Josh Engel are ready to take this case to trial.
Who ultimately is responsible for the murder of Vicky Barton?
Jim Barton is responsible. Our theory was that he wanted to scare her so that she would move with him into the city of Springboro so that he could be chief.
Everybody knew that. That was undisputed. He applied multiple times. He wanted to be the police chief.
It's totally absurd. I mean, it's crazy. The story is absolutely crazy.
Vicky's friends, Darlene Bisgard and Kathy Trame, say the theory doesn't make sense to them either.
Would she have been frightened and said, let's sell this farm, let's get out of here?
No. It would have challenged her to be more aggressive in protecting their farm.
At trial, defense attorneys will argue that the prosecution's case is thin, their motive absurd, and their lead witness, Gary Henson, unbelievable. Prosecutors, however, will argue that Gary Henson is telling the truth, and they'll use Jim Barton's own words from the 911 tape to prove it.
Is this a circumstantial case?
Oh, yeah, completely circumstantial.
Does that make you nervous?
Absolutely, it makes you nervous. I mean, to the point of, you know, sick.
Prosecutors begin by trying to establish that Jim Barton knew who killed Vicky. they call Lieutenant George Hunter, the first officer to arrive at the Barton farm.
Did he make any statements to you?
He did. He told me, they shot her, man. They've killed her. Why did they have to kill her? Those murdering bastards.
That's very significant that he knew that there was more than one person involved in this crime right from the very beginning.
I'm just lashing out at criminals, per se. That's what I'm thinking. I can't see myself using any other word than they.
Next up for the prosecution, former waitress Barb Palmer. On the stand, she claims she saw Jim Barton and Will Phelps together at a local diner 20 years ago.
It was on more than one occasion.
But Jim Barton says that's a lie.
I didn't know this Phelps. He may not have had anything to do with this crime at all.
Prosecutors admit there's no evidence that Will Phelps was ever in the Barton home. But they say that's because Jim Barton wiped down the crime scene before investigators arrived.
They found less than 10 fingerprints in the entire house, and that includes Jim and Vicki Barton.
And prosecutors claim you can hear Jim Barton cleaning the crime scene on the 911 call.
Mr. Barton? He's shuffling stuff around.
He's wiping down the scene to make sure that they're not going to find evidence that's going to link him to the crime.
That's totally absurd. I was searching the house, moving the clothing back on the hangers that are in there, going room to room, going through the closets. I want to make sure somebody wasn't in there.
But for Jim Barton, it's what the jury hears at the end of the 911 tape that matters most. The controversial 2.5 second clip, 8 minutes into the call.
Oh, man. I got a call for help, man.
Stay on the line with me.
What do you want people to know that you said on that 911 tape?
I got a call for help. I got a call for help. I'm slurring those words together. That's what I'm saying.
He is saying felt. We're convinced of that.
But back in 1995, lead detective J.R. Abshire wasn't so convinced.
To be very honest with you, I thought he said help.
You thought he said help?
Yeah. Until someone can say 100% sure what he says, that's in question, for me anyway.
Both sides introduce experts to tug and pull at every modulating sound Jim Barton uttered during that call.
Give me some help out here.
In the end, it all boils down to how many syllables the jury hears.
I got a call for help, man.
Defense expert Tom Owen.
The word is a two-syllable word for help. It has two beats, and after you slow it down, you can clearly hear that.
Which Owen does, narrowing in on the critical tenth of a second section of the tape.
What word is that, sir?
For help.
Okay.
Bump, bump. Okay. Let me play it again. This is what you need to remember. Two beats.
Prosecutors produce their own audio expert.
Do you recognize that?
Yes.
Robert Fox, who hears only one word and one syllable, Phelp.
Phelp.
Did you see any hesitation in the statement, Phelp?
No. There is no evidence whatsoever for an H in this phrase.
After four experts,
these are waveforms,
and 7 hours of testimony, the jury, along with everyone else in the courtroom, has heard enough.
They'd heard that tape so many times, over and over. It must have been played 100 times in court. You just don't know what they're thinking.
But what the jury hasn't heard yet is testimony from Gary Hansen, the state's star witness, a career criminal with a rap sheet spanning 20 years.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Vicki was very loving. I could call on her whenever I needed anything.
For Mary Jane Siebert, it had been 9 desolate years.
She had so much going for.
And countless visits to her daughter Vicki's grave before there was any hint at justice.
Should never have happened.
Police had pieced together a theory that Mary Jane's own son-in-law, Jim Barton, was the man responsible for Vicki's murder. That he'd hired Will Phelps to stage a burglary and somehow scare Vicki away from her farm. So when she got the chance, Mary Jane made good and sure she was in the same courtroom as the veteran cop who'd allegedly turned criminal.
Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in today's case to be.
But like so much in the case against Jim Barton, nothing was quite what it seemed.
You remain friends with Jimmy even today, don't you?
Yes, he's like my son.
Mary Jane would testify for the defense, trying to help Jim Barton, the man prosecutors swore was guilty.
Do you love Jim?
Yes.
You've stood by him through all of this, haven't you?
Yes, he had nothing to do with this.
Ms. Siebert, I'm so sorry that you have to be involved in this process.
DA Leslie Ann Meyer would try to imply that sadly, with her daughter murdered, Mary Jane was holding on to the only family she had left, her son-in-law, Jim.
She's a sweet little old lady, but I feel sorry for her.
I'd like to tell you what she is, but I don't dare use a language.
3 days after the trial began, the government would bring its star witness out of the shadows and into this courtroom.
Was there any discussion about a deal for your testimony in this case?
No.
Gary Henson, the convict, thief, and drug abuser, would finally be presented to the public. Everyone, it seemed, knew what to expect, including Jim Barton.
A career criminal.
How are you doing, Gary?
I'm okay.
He's got multiple Social Security numbers. He's got multiple aliases that he goes by.
We're going to talk about some of the crimes that you've been convicted of, okay?
Okay.
And that's the main witness that testified against me.
Our case lived with Gary Henson, and Gary just doesn't give a good presentation.
And the jury would soon learn that, too.
What kind of jobs would you do?
We did burglaries.
You know what makes him so believable is that he's so honest about lying and cheating and stealing.
Henson testified how Jim Barton enlisted his brother, Will Phelps, to scare Vicki right off the Barton family farm, and how Phelps had asked him to join in on the planned crime.
When she pulled in the driveway, we was going to meet her and then shoot over her head.
And did you have any plan on what you were going to use to shoot over her head?
Yeah, guns.
And where did you get those guns from?
Mr. Barton gave Will to them.
But come sunup on April 11th, 1995, the plan fell apart because Gary Henson was in familiar territory, locked up in a county jail. Henson says his brother Will Phelps found another man to take his place. Days later, Gary Henson says he read about Vicki Barton's murder in the newspaper.
I called Will. He said that basically everything went wrong. And she was shot by accident.
On the stand, Henson testified that it was Phelps' mystery accomplice, who has never been identified, who actually shot Vicki Barton.
He said that the guy was a sick.
Who's the guy?
I didn't know the guy. I asked.
But back in 1998, Henson told police that Phelps confessed to being the killer.
Isn't it fair to say that in 1998, Gary Henson lied?
Well, by saying his brother shot her, yeah, I mean, that's a lie. There's no way to hide that. I think it's, you know, I try to make it as minor as I think it is. He's not changing his story. He's just changing who did what in the story.
And in 1998, when he first talked to police about Vicki Barton's murder, Jim Barton's name never even came up.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Why wouldn't he have told you that his brother Will had said that Jim Barton had set all of this in motion?
I don't know. I never pressed it. I never pursued that angle.
And Henson told me things.
Detective Frank Hensley did testify at trial, but was never asked about the petty thief's changing stories.
Henson not only manipulates investigators, but that's his total way of life. He's a manipulator.
Does he lie to protect himself?
Certainly.
I asked him if he knew anything about Jim maybe being involved in this, and he said no, it was that simple.
And J.R. Abshire, the original investigator into Vicki Barton's murder, had the exact same experience when he questioned Gary Henson in 1998.
Did he tell you that Jim Barton had hired his brother to go over to the house, to burglarize the house, and to scare Vicki?
No.
Do you believe the right man has been arrested?
That's not for me to say. I'm not the prosecutor.
Is Gary Henson a liar?
Absolutely he's a liar. I never knew Will Phelps. I have no idea who these people are.
But despite all the lies he'd been caught telling, it was Henson's accuracy about the hideous and secret forensic details.
What did he tell you that this guy did?
He said he bit her on the chest, that he raped her.
That ultimately convinced the prosecutors that Gary Henson was telling the truth for once.
The only priority is...
And the prosecution team had one more bit of evidence they were banking on. Direct testimony from Henson...
We always kept a gas can with us.
...about a gas can Will Phelps used to case the Barton home and allegedly left behind after the murder.
Do you see anything in Exhibit 4D that looks familiar at all to you?
Yeah. It just looks just like my brother's gas can.
But Elaine Barton, Jim's new wife, says that's a lie. She says it's Jim's gas can that he's owned for years.
When he heard Gary Henson's testimony, he said, that's crazy. I have that can.
Still, Barton's lawyers banked on the jury never believing a crook and a liar. And at the heart of their closing argument was this. Jim Barton arrested criminals. He didn't conspire with them.
Let's just look at the overview. Jim Barton's a fine guy. Going to work every day for 25 years. Would a gentleman of 25 years in law enforcement even be associated with Phelps? This man has been investigated, scrutinized. Now, enough is enough.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out, to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Vicki Barton's murder happened in the most serene and pastoral of settings. The farm she and Jim owned just outside Springboro, Ohio. Everything about that day seemed unexpected and unpredictable.
And the jury continues to deliberate at this hour.
But 10 years later, this was the scene. Drab, cold courtroom corridors and the predictable rituals of American justice.
Looks like they got a verdict.
Okay.
I was felt confident all along. I was gonna be acquitted.
Bring the jury in, please.
We, the jury, find the defendant Thomas James Barton guilty of involuntary manslaughter, signed by all 12 jurors. Take the defendant into custody.
I looked at Elaine.
Did you say anything to her?
Yes, I told her I loved her. I kissed her, and of course, they walked me right out of there.
To hear Jim Barton tell it, just as Vicki was taken from him, now two more lives were being stolen, his own and that of his new wife, Elaine.
I think, how could this have happened? I have heard of innocent people going to jail, but I certainly never thought I would experience it.
I could not believe that that jury came back and said he was guilty, because he's not.
But the jury had spoken. Jim Barton, the veteran cop, was now inside the same Warren County jail where he used to send common criminals. All that was left was the judge's sentence. The case was closed. Or was it?
I was in my cell, and a note came under my door, and it said, "You need to have your attorney contact me right away." And the guy signed his name on the bottom.
What was the name?
Danny Clark.
I was in jail for violating a temporary protection order.
Involving your wife?
Yes.
When we met successful businessman Danny Ray Clark, he had just been released from jail. That's where he met the star witness of the Barton trial. And what he told Clark was stunning.
Gary Henson wasn't convinced of Mr. Barton's guilt, didn't know if Mr. Barton was guilty or not guilty, and really didn't seem to matter.
I'm thinking this could be earth-shattering information that we need.
Call your first witness.
Judge James Flannery ushered Barton's defense team back into his now quiet courtroom just days after he had dismissed the jury to hear explosive new testimony.
Yeah, this time we would call Danny Clark to the stand.
Gary actually said that he didn't know, if Mr. Barton was involved or not, and he didn't care.
And amazingly, there was more to come.
Will you state your name, please, sir?
Yes, sir, Michael E. Moore.
Barton's lawyers produced a second jailhouse confidant of Henson's.
I was a deputy sheriff. Prior to that, for 5 years, I was a police officer.
Another fallen cop. Michael Moore was doing 90 days time for taking marijuana from a police evidence room when, he says, Henson told him he only testified because prosecutors forced him to.
But if he didn't testify, they were going to prosecute him.
He stated that if he did not testify, he could face obstruction charges.
But prosecutors are emphatic. Henson didn't get a deal.
Do you state your full name for the record?
James Calvin Hodge.
And then there were three.
Gary told me that Mr. Barton was not in any way involved with this case.
James Hodge had also met Gary Henson in prison.
said, I know he's innocent. And then later on, like, he was just said that the cop didn't have nothing to do with it. Didn't hire nobody to do it. Didn't even have any clue about it.
I mean, these are powerful witnesses that should be allowed to testify, and the jury should have heard.
But Judge James Flannery decided the three men's testimony was not enough to order a new trial, so no jury would hear it.
That you did not get a chance to hear as jurors.
Until 48 hours showed it to Vicki Fletcher and Dave Rice, two jurors who voted to convict Barton.
He didn't know, quite frankly, if Mr. Barton was involved or not, and he didn't care.
He stated that if he did not testify, he could face obstruction charges. He
said, I know he's innocent.
What is your reaction to the new testimony you just heard?
I would still say guilty.
If you believe one snitch, one criminal, Gary Henson, why not believe these three criminals?
Gary Henson didn't want anything out of this. Again, I still believe in the fact that Gary wanted to do something right by his brother.
I feel like there's not a lot of new evidence presented by those three fellows.
Does this create any reasonable doubt in your mind?
No. No.
Did you get a fair trial?
I don't think I did. No. I have no involvement in this crime. Absolutely, I have no involvement in this crime. I'm innocent.
You and Vicki, what were your dreams?
Our dreams were to have our horse farm, have our horses, have each other, and retire on our farm. That's what we wanted.
But what becomes of any dreams Jim Barton might have left is uncertain. What is certain now are two things. Jim Barton will serve at least 10 years in prison. And this, neither the convicted cop nor the convicted con man killed Vicki Barton. Whoever committed that crime remains a mystery.
In 2016, Jim Barton's conviction was overturned.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the 48 Hours podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Join me, 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty, on my podcast, My Life of Crime, as I take on true crime investigations like no other. This season, I'm looking into the secrets within families, cutting straight to the evidence and talking to the people directly involved. Enjoy My Life of Crime on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Wondery Plus.